Hello, and welcome to the inaugural West Texas A&M University Trumpet Podcast. I'm Bill Takis, trumpet professor at West Texas A&M University, and the topic of this podcast is the 2008-2009 All-State Trumpet Etudes. This year, the etudes were taken from the Book of 40 Studies by Wilhelm Wurm, and the selections from the book are etude numbers 14, 15, and 20. In this podcast, I will be talking a little bit about each etude, which will cover practice strategies and some particular items to watch out for. And then you will get to hear each etude at different tempos. I strongly suggest that you take your time when learning these etudes, and you may even need to start at a slower tempo than the slowest one I recorded. That's perfectly fine, and there's no shame in that. When we jump into trying to absorb too much material at too quick of a pace, we tend to overlook certain things and then learn them incorrectly, causing us to double back and relearn the material. Some basic rules of thumb. Use your metronome frequently. Pay attention to details such as proper articulation and dynamics, and always play with the best sound you possibly can. If you have any questions about any portion of this podcast, please feel free to contact me by email at wtakacs@wtamu.edu. We'll start numerically with etude number 14. Obviously, the biggest challenge of this etude is the trills. Certain trills are much more difficult to execute than others on the trumpet, and some players tend to have trouble with some trills that aren't a problem for other players. Whatever your personal case may be, I suggest that you take whatever trills are difficult for you out of the context of the music and practice them a lot. Only through many repetitions will your trills improve. Let's first walk through this etude and discuss the trills, what fingerings to use, and other things you may want to look out for. Your first trill is from a low D to an E, and I suggest using the alternate fingering of third vowel for the E. There is quite a leap from that D grace note to the F at the top of the staff, which may pose some problems in accuracy for you. Again, I would suggest isolating that passage and simply repeating it until you gain some consistent accuracy playing it. Your muscle memory will gradually improve so that this jump seems easier over time. Just be patient. Your next trill, in measure 3, is from an A to a B flat, as we have one flat in the key. Again, you will have a rather large leap from the A grace note to the G at the top of the staff. With practice, you'll get it. Starting in measure 5, we have a D to E trill, which is repeated. This trill usually poses some problems for most players. If I could offer a suggestion, I would recommend that when you first land on the D, you should actually play it a little on the high side to make it closer to the E, which should then make it easier to trill. If you keep the D right in the center of the note, you'll probably tend to trill down to a C instead of up to the E, or get some kind of revolving motion, first up and then down, or something like that. Keeping the D on the sharp side of the note should help with that. It might take a little while to get used to, but you'll adjust. The next trill that could be tricky is the one in measure 12, from G to A. I simply suggest using third vowel for the A, and I also suggest using third vowel for the D to E trill in measure 15 as well. Then you get a break from trills for a couple of lines as you go up and down various scale passages. Be absolutely sure that you are playing with the correct articulation. Without a doubt, the most difficult trill of the piece is in measure 25, from the F to the G. You're going to have to apply the same strategy here that you are using for trilling the D to the E. This will take a lot of patience and practice. In measure 26, you'll have to deal with this awkward E-flat to F trill by just having very fast fingers. There are no alternate fingerings available to make this trill any easier, so you'll just have to get used to going from second and third valve to first valve very quickly. In measure 30, the book suggests that you use first and second valve for the E to the F trill. The reason that is suggested is that the alternate fingering for E raises the pitch slightly, making for a smoother trill to the F. I like this suggestion and I used it myself in the recording. Okay, so we've covered all of the trills. You only have to play this etude up to measure 48, so let's look at the last line you have to play, which covers measure 43 to 48. After yet another large leap from the G grace note in measure 43 to the high B flat in measure 44, there is a series of triplets to the end. These also have some rather large intervals, which you will just have to allow your lips to get used to playing. They might seem very difficult to play at first, but if you keep at it, your accuracy will improve. There's one last thing to mention about trills in general. There are basically two ways to play them. The first is to keep the trill moving all the way through the note's duration without any break until you move to the next note on a beat or to grace notes resolving the trill. The other way is to stop the trill a split second before resolving it, which is the way that I prefer and which you will hear in my recording. This is a personal preference. Only you can decide what works best for you. Let's listen to measures 1 through 16 at eighth note equals 60 with the metronome. Let's go ahead now and listen to the second section of this etude from measure 17 to 32, also at eighth note equals 60, with the metronome. And finally, here is the third section of the etude from measure 33 to 48 at eighth note equals 60, also with the metronome. I only recorded this etude at one alternate tempo. If you need to practice all or parts of it slower than eighth note equals 60, then just use your metronome and get to work. At this point, however, let's hear the entire etude in a performance without the metronome. Remember, when you audition, you won't be able to play with a metronome, so don't forget to practice this etude from time to time without the metronome. The range of final tempos for this etude is from eighth note equals 70 to eighth note equals 80. I chose eighth note equals 80. Thank you. isn't really a whole lot to be said about Etude number 15. The challenge here is to observe all of the articulations and to navigate through the etude at the prescribed tempo, which is from a quarter note equals 112 to 120. There is one change that should be made to the original music, according to the TMEA website. In the next to last measure, which is measure 43, the F at the top of the staff in the third beat should be an F sharp. Make sure you mark this change in your music. I made one change of my own regarding breathing and an articulation marking. As you will notice in my recording, in measure 9, I take a breath in between beats 1 and 2, breaking the slur, so that I could make it comfortably to the end of the phrase. I normally observe all articulation markings, but I felt it was better for me to make an exception in this case for a better overall performance. And if you'll notice, the book actually suggests that you break a tie to breathe in measure 37, so I didn't feel too guilty about making the change in measure 9. Start slowly and take your time learning this etude. Watch for accidentals that carry through the measure, and work with your metronome to maintain a steady pulse. Let's listen for measures 1 to 16 at quarter note equals 70. Now let's listen for measure 17 to 24 at quarter note equals 70. And finally, let's listen to the last section from measure 25 to the end at quarter note equals 70. I decided to record this etude at two different practice tempos, so now let's listen to the first section, measures 1 through 16, at quarter note equals 90. Okay, now let's listen to measures 17 through 24 at the same tempo. And now the last section, measure 25 to the end, at quarter note equals 90. recorded the entire etude at quarter note equals 1/16 for the final performance. This will be played without a metronome. Etude 20's biggest challenge is obviously the cadenza. We'll get to that, but let's talk briefly about the first part of this etude. It may look like this music goes by very quickly because of all of the 32nd notes, but because the 8th note is the pulse, those 32nds are felt like 16th notes, 4 to a beat. This makes for very long measures, so make sure you are carrying accidentals through the bar, like the F sharp in measure 15. When you get to the cadenza, I suggest getting all of these notes under your fingers first before you start trying to adjust the speed. After the low B fermata note in the cadenza, there is a series of ascending and descending diminished seventh arpeggios. In this section, make sure you play the same accidentals coming down the arpeggios that you did while going up. Write them in if you need to. This cadenza isn't too difficult if you take your time and work on it in sections. Because the beginning and ending sections of this etude are fairly simple, I didn't record them at a slower tempo. I did record the middle section leading up to the cadenza, from measure 13 to 20, however, at 8th note equals 70, with a metronome. Here it is. I also recorded the cadenza, with the measure leading into it, at a slow tempo without any fluctuation during the cadenza. Take a listen. And now here is the entire etude, without metronome, at 8th note equals 96. The prescribed range of tempos for performance of this etude is from 8th note equals 84 to 96. In this recording, I give you my own interpretation of the cadenza. You are welcome to do it your own way. My way is only one of the many possible ways you could play it. I suggest getting some ideas from your private teacher or your band director. Thank you. Well, that pretty much wraps up this podcast over the Allstate Etudes. I hope that it was of some help to you as you prepare for your audition. Please feel free to write me with any comments or questions at wtakacs@wtamu.edu. And if you liked this podcast, please tell your band director and your trumpet-playing friends about it. I'm also open to ideas and suggestions for topics for future podcasts, so forward those to me as well. Best of luck during your school year, and good luck on your audition. Now get to work. Bye.